Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Eric Christensen. And on this episode, I'm going to cover medroxyprogesterone acetate, sometimes referred to as Depo-Provera as brand name, or DMPA for an abbreviation there as well. So I'm going to specifically kind of stick to the injection here in this episode, and the one obviously specifically for contraceptive purposes. So this drug is a progestin-only contraceptive method. It is injection, I mentioned that. And this injection is given every 3 months. And that certainly can be advantageous for some patients that really aren't very good at remembering to take medications, or they just don't want to worry about it and don't want the hassle of taking a once daily contraceptive. So we don't obviously worry about adherence quite as much in these type of patients. However, sticking on the theme of adherence, we do need to remember that patients need to come in and get this on a regular basis, obviously a three-month routine there. So, and, you know, I always educate patients that there's no medication that is absolutely 100%, you know, perfect as far as contraception goes. But obviously, the as long as patients are getting their routine injection, the risk for pregnancy is extremely, extremely low. Adverse effect profile. Well, first, let's cover mechanism of action. So how does this prevent pregnancy? So the drug inhibits gonadotropin release from the pituitary. And so if you remember that, by blocking that, that can actually, those gonadotropins are necessary for ovulation and follicular maturation, things of that nature. And so by blocking that release of those gonadotropins, what you ultimately do is prevent ovulation, which is necessary, obviously, for pregnancy to happen. So that's how it gives its contraceptive action there. Side effects. So one of the biggest things that can be a little bit unpredictable in patients, and sometimes can lead to discontinuation or patients not wanting to continue to use it, is unpredictable bleeding, spotting, things of that nature. And this is generally much more prominent in the first few months, kind of as the concentrations are getting more to steady state. Over time, if patients obviously continue on it, with longer-term use, you're going to get amenorrhea, where basically, you know, the patient isn't going to have their regular menses anymore at all. So in that meantime of, you know, starting the medication and getting, you know, to that more long-term use, there can be some difficulty with that unpredictable bleeding, spotting, and things of that nature. So important to remember that, important to educate patients on that. With longer-term use, there is a boxed warning with this medication, recommended not to be used for greater than 2 years. Along with warnings is the risk for loss of bone mineral density. So in patients who are taking this, you know, I do consider asking, looking at their diet, and, you know, maybe ensuring that they're actually getting a decent amount of calcium and vitamin D in their diet, or at least asking about it and reminding them that that intake is critical for good bone health there. It is an injection, so, you know, with any injection, you can have injection site reactions, you know, redness, itching, maybe a little bit of a bruise spot. Usually this isn't serious and does go away, but obviously if it's something that's really concerning, getting worse, you know, after the injection and continues to get worse, then we've got to have those patients seek medical attention and try to figure out what's going on. Rarely, patients can get a little bump or feel a little lump at the site of that injection as well. Weight gain, as far as adverse effects go, is a little bit controversial. There's some mixed evidence kind of either way. So I would say that the jury's still out a little bit. You may see either happen in practice. So just keep that in mind. Patients might read, one where it says, yeah, it should cause weight loss, and they might read online, yeah, this is supposed to cause weight gain. This isn't the medication for me because of that. I think at this point we're still kind of in that mixed evidence stage of weight gain versus weight loss or weight neutral on this medication. One other important education point I think that people tend to overlook is reminding patients that this does not protect against sexually transmitted diseases, so HIV, AIDS, chlamydia, gonorrhea, whatever STD that you're thinking about or that the patient's concerned about, it will not do that. So I think that's very, very important to remind patients about that who may have this preconceived notion that it does prevent that type of thing. From a pharmacokinetic standpoint, obviously this injection is given approximately every 3 months. And when you've got a medication like that, obviously we have to have a long half-life for the drug. So when this drug is given, the half-life, so that's the time it takes for basically half the drug to be eliminated from the body, half-life is probably in the upper 40s to around 50 days for that half-life. So very, very important, I think, to remember that. And that's, the reason why we can get by with only giving that injection every 3 months there. So let's take a quick break from our sponsor here, and we will finish up with drug interactions. If you're looking for board certification resources, NAPLEX, BCPS, BCACP, geriatrics, BCGP, MTM exam study materials, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've got links to all our resources there. We've also got books on case studies, clinical pearls, things of that nature. Great for any practicing clinician, practicing healthcare professional, nurse, physician, students, pharmacists, of course, as well. So go check those resources out. I've got a deal on the first book for Audible for free. We've got links to that. So if you've never tried an audiobook before, we've got a link. You can get your first one for free. So a nice little free takeaway there if you've never listened to books on Audible. It's a good way to give it a shot and get 6 to 8 hours of free clinical pharmacy, clinical medication education there. So again, meded101.com/store has all those resources and a growing list of resources as well as I continue to work on other projects and other educational materials. So with that, let's finish up on drug interactions. I definitely try to remember enzyme inducers, and there's lots of kind of classic enzyme inducers, Tegretol, barbiturates, phenytoin, oxcarbazepine, St. John's wort, rifampin. All of these drugs have the potential to lower concentrations of the medroxyprogesterone. So what does that result in, or how can that be problematic? If we have lower concentrations of that drug, which is our contraceptive method, we're going to run the risk of that contraceptive method failing and increase the risk of pregnancy, which is likely what your patient absolutely does not want if they are getting this injection on a routine basis. So it can be pretty tricky to catch this because, if they're seeing a specialist, let's say, and they put the patient on carbamazepine, for example, they may totally forget that they're actually receiving drug in that every 3 month injection. So definitely very, very important to educate your patient, to let other providers know if they're seeing specialists, if they're on a lot of medications, let them know that they're receiving this injection and that's what they're using for birth control. So critical, critical patient education point there. I can't emphasize that enough because you are putting your patient at risk if we start something. You know, say they get their injection a month ago and now they're seeing the specialist for something. You know, it's just not on their mind that they're getting this injection once every 3 months. At least for most patients, it's not going to be on their mind. So very, very important to remember some of those drugs and the risk that they can cause as far as inducing metabolism and reducing concentrations, leading to an increased risk for pregnancy. There are some HIV drugs, efavirenz, ritonavir, lopinavir. There's others as well. So remember, if you've got a patient who is on an HIV regimen, that would definitely be somebody I would be looking up and basically running that drug interaction screen, ensuring that DMPA can be used as a contraceptive method and we're not going to have those induction of enzymes and lower concentrations, putting our patient at risk for pregnancy. Other drug interactions, probably the big one I wanted to point out that you will see warnings on or precautions on, patients who may be at risk for coagulation disorders. So if you've got a patient on an anticoagulant, which isn't terribly common, obviously, in our younger patient population that's probably taking this for birth control. But if you happen to have a patient that is taking an anticoagulant or at risk for some reason, there is potential for medroxyprogesterone to increase that thromboembolic risk. So important to remember that. Obviously, that can be a really serious thing if it induces that risk of clot or raises that risk a little bit. That can obviously lead to a serious complication there. With that, I think I'm going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thanks so much for listening. Go snag your free resource, your 31-page top 200 PDF, where I lay out important clinical pearls for each of those top 200 drugs. Great resource for pharmacy students, med students, nursing students, pharmacy technician students that have to study pharmacology as well. I highlight really important things from each of those drugs in the top 200. Go check that out. Download that for free at reallifepharmacology.com simply for subscribing to the podcast so you know when we've got new episodes and new things going on there. If you want to reach out to me, LinkedIn's a good place to do that. Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Also track us down on the website, reallifepharmacology.com or meded101.com as well. I'm going to sign off for today. Leave us a rating review. Greatly appreciated if you've done that already on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Take care. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your day.